Hey everyone, this is Christy again. I usually read the ads, but we're a little short staffed today. So I'm going to read the pentagraph dated Monday, March the 23rd, 2020. Okay, I'm not gonna lie to you, it might be a little rough, but it'll be better than nothing, I think. Okay, we're gonna start with the article entitled Sense of Community: Drive-In Service at Church Serves Body, Soul. This is by Kevin Barlow. And it's in Bloomington. Church leaders looking for different ways to connect with their congregation among stay-at-home orders may have found an answer to their prayers, taking a cue from drive-in theaters. Second Presbyterian Church opened its parking lot Sunday morning in a setup that resembles a drive-in theater. Attendees stay in their cars and tune their car radios to a specific frequency that carried the service led by a pastor standing in the bed of a pickup truck. Church leaders counted 54 cars at the service. "I was expecting maybe 15 or 20 cars there," said Pastor Trey Hayden. It went off without a hitch. Tom Young, an elder of the church, was pleasantly surprised at the turnout. "It was very close to our traditional service in terms of order and the things we do," he said. "But it was good to be with our church family. It was a unique way of staying in community, even in our imposed isolation, to keep us safe. But it was good to see many of our church friends, even from a distance." Hayden said the idea arose after church leaders were considering what the true needs are right now, and we know we're not doctors, but what we are good at is community. Knowing that everyone is being quarantined to their own place and their own space, the one thing they need, and they are hardwired for it and desperately hardwired for it, is community. The coronavirus has canceled almost all events, including all church service gatherings. At many churches, the Sunday service is live streamed. Hayden said the plan is to continue with the drive-in service. Sorry, I got to scroll down here. Every week until the stay-at-home order is lifted. "We feel it builds a sense of community," Hayden said, "even if that means looking through a windshield and seeing a friend through another windshield, or it may be someone we have never met before, but just seeing another human being that is there. I think that is very important right now." During the service, along with community, Hayden stressed hope. "I also think we need that," he said. "I think the church has gotten really good at taking care of the church, and the church needs to remember that we aren't here for the structural building, but more importantly, to be here to serve the needs of the community." Hayden read the full executive order and realized the church could help in another way. "We run a breakfast brunch every Sunday for our most vulnerable, and that part will stay, even though it may look a little different," he said. "We put breakfast tacos out and let people get those and walk off. We can't allow them to sit and eat and socialize. The drive-in church is an option because everyone is in their cars, nobody is getting out, and nobody is talking. They're still in their individual space." Jan Harrell, an elder at the church and a volunteer for the brunch, said 40 to 70 people are typically served. On Sunday, about 60 people took part in a modified grab-and-go breakfast of a breakfast burrito, hash browns, banana, and orange juice. "We have really developed a community with that Sunday morning brunch," she said. "We made a commitment to going with the brunch, but we told them it really isn't that it is a commitment just to keep doing it, but it's because we have developed such a strong sense of community. We are not going to stop doing that." You can contact Kevin Barlow at 309-820-3238, and you can follow him on Twitter at PG underscore Barlow. Our next article is Mission Mart closes. Retail sales downturn, coronavirus prompt permanent closure, by Kevin Barlow. Bloomington, Home Sweet Home Ministries has permanently closed its Mission Mart at 303 East Oakland Avenue in Bloomington. The shelters for men, women, and children who are experiencing homelessness will continue to operate, and Home Sweet Home Ministries will continue to provide meals for them. Officials announced Sunday that due to the combined economic impact of a downturn in the retail sales environment and the coronavirus, the decision was made to close the Mission Mart effective immediately. Mission Mart announced a temporary closure earlier last week, but made the closure permanent on Friday. This decision was made in order to reduce the financial losses that would have a negative impact on Home Sweet Home Ministries' ability to maintain essential services of shelter and food for individuals experiencing homelessness, officials said in a statement released Sunday. Employees at Home Sweet Home Ministries Mission Mart and Warehouse were notified of the Mission Mart's closure on Saturday. They will have an opportunity to be considered for other positions within Home Sweet Home Ministries. We are deeply grateful for the support that our community has provided since the Bloomington Mission Mart first opened in 1988, said CEO Mary Ann Pullen. Thousands of local people have benefited from the services, employment, and volunteer opportunities that have been available through the Mission Mart and Warehouse. Pullen requests that people refrain from bringing their donated items to the Mission Mart at this time until a determination is made about whether Home Sweet Home will continue its salvage operation. Home Sweet Home Ministries is currently providing sack lunches and emergency food boxes to anyone in need of food assistance. The Bread for Life Food Co-op and the volunteer program have been suspended in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Pullen remarks, "We know that everyone is being affected by COVID-19 in numerous ways. The best way to provide support for Home Sweet Home Ministries during these challenging times is by donating at www.hsh-ministries.org/donate. Home Sweet Home Ministries is a 501 nonprofit, non-denominational Christian organization that provides services to individuals and families experiencing homelessness, poverty, and food insecurity in the Bloomington Normal area. Visit www.hshministries.org for additional information. To contact Kevin Barlow, you can call 309-820-3238, and you can follow him on Twitter at PG_Barlow. In the Today's Update column, okay, there is a reminder that the schools are closed through April the 7th. There is a stay-at-home order through April the 7th by order of the governor. Essential businesses like grocery stores, gas stations, pharmacies will remain open. Senior/vulnerable shopping. Schnucks from 6 to 7 daily. Hy-Vee from 7 to 8 daily. Dollar General the first hour of the day. Target first hour each Wednesday. Jewel from 7 to 9, Tuesday and Thursday. Blaine's Farm and Fleet, 7 to 9 a.m., Monday through Saturday, and 10 to 11 on Sunday. So if you're a senior or you have some special circumstances, there are those hours that are set aside for you to shop, and the general public will probably not be allowed in. There's also a comment about Busey Bank, First Financial Bank, CEFCU. Commercial bank lobbies are all closed, but their drive-throughs are open, and Compeer Financial is closed. All websites are available. If you find yourself in crisis anytime during the day, 24 hours, 7 days a week, you can get assistance by calling 211 or 888-865-9903. Okay? So, also, lend a hand. Illinois Health and Hospital Association has asked contractors, dentists, veterinarians, and other groups to donate medical masks to local hospitals. needed are the standard surgical masks and the N95s with the NIOSH or FDA approval. They will even take expired N95s. If you have questions, you can email ppe.donations@illinois.gov. Also, telehealth. McLean County Triage Center will provide temporary supportive mental health services to first responders through a video conferencing platform. To schedule an appointment, call 309-434-6567 or email mhtriage@mcleancountyil.gov. So let's see, the quote for the day, "You must do the things you think you cannot do," by Eleanor Roosevelt. Okay, let's look at this article here. Normal program helps first-time home buyers. Town sponsoring tax credit program by Sierra Henry. And you can reach her at sierra.henry@lee.net. First-time homebuyers can receive a federal tax credit through a new program sponsored by the Town of Normal. Normal City Council on March the 2nd approved sponsoring a mortgage credit certificate program through Monarch Mortgage Management. A mortgage credit certificate provides a federal tax credit of up to $2,000 per year for the life of the mortgage through participating lenders. It helps low to moderate income families purchase homes, achieve home ownership, said Monarch Mortgage Management Managing Director David Rausch. It makes the cost of home ownership more moderate. The federally authorized programs offer an alternative to tax-exempt housing bonds and reduce the effective interest rate cost for qualified home buyers, Rausch said. Eligibility varies from county to county, and there is a home purchase limit of $283,348. The town is not at risk at sponsoring community and will not incur any additional expenditure, said City Mayor Pam Reese. "We're just picking up where another community left off," she said, explaining Aurora dropped its sponsorship because of lack of interest. Had it not been Normal, it would have been some other Central Illinois community. In McLean County, Rausch said a couple or individual could qualify with a combined income of $88,300 or less. A household of three or more would need a combined income of $101,545,000 or less. More than $27.7 million in mortgage credit certificates were generated in McLean County over the past 5 years, said Rausch. Although Normal is the sponsor city, other cities can participate by ceding their bonds authority for private activity bonds, which are industrial revenue bonds used to build factories or for purchasing equipment and machinery. Private activity bonds are granted to home-ruled units such as Normal and Bloomington by the state based on population multiplied by $125, Rausch said. Residents in cities that do not cede bond capacity can benefit through participating lenders, said Rausch. At this time, Normal will not cede its private activity bond capacity, but it could be an option discussed by City Council, said Reese. "We're very early in the process. We're just getting it structured," Rausch said. "If people are interested, we're happy to answer questions. People who are interested in the program can call Monarch Mortgage Management at 312-664-5656. Sponsoring the program could be the first step in addressing affordable housing issues in McLean County and across the state," said Normal Councilwoman Kimberly Cummings. "Sponsoring a program such as the tax credit program just makes sense," Cummings said. Now she is looking for a broader discussion regarding affordable housing for all. It was already shared that McLean County, out of its counties that took advantage of it, had the most people, so it only seemed fair and right for us to sponsor it, Cummings said. The town of Normal already has a program where we assist with a down payment, so to have that assistance on top of the tax credit could be very beneficial to a moderate to low-income family. Contact Sierra Henry at 309-820-3234. Follow her on Twitter at PG_Sierra Henry. Under Monday Memos, Rich Wishbone honors wildlife educator. Jenny Underwood, 81, a longtime McLean County wildlife rehabilitator, received Wishbone Canines Rescue 2020 Community Heroes Award. The award honors unwavering commitment and dedication to the rehabilitation and conservation of wildlife. She also received a special proclamation honoring her efforts from State Representative Dan Brady of Bloomington. For 52 years, Underwood has given a helping hand to injured and orphaned wildlife, providing them with food, shelter, and needed care, with the goal of returning them to the wild at her sanctuary north of Hudson. Our next article is entitled Professors, Students Face Challenges. Online instruction set to begin Monday at ISU IWU Heartland. This is an article by Lenore Sabata. You can reach her at lenore.sabata@lee.net. Switching from face-to-face instruction to teaching college courses online in mid-semester is a bit like building a tent city after a disaster, said an Illinois State University professor. Although I would like to build a lovely two-story home to shelter my students, I only have the tools and resources to maybe build a one-story bungalow, said Corinne Zimmerman, who teaches psychology at the university. Others may only have the tools and resources to build tents, and sometimes, given the circumstances, a tent is just fine in the short run. In this case, the disaster is the coronavirus pandemic, and it isn't over. But ISU Illinois, Wesleyan University, and Heartland Community College, among other institutions, are trying to work through it by moving classes online starting Monday. Zimmerman explained that it's part of a concept in cognitive psychology called satisficing. Essentially, we sometimes have to make decisions that are good enough rather than ideal or optimal, she said. In an attempt to move good enough as close to ideal as possible, schools such as ISU, IWU, and Heartland extended their spring breaks to give faculty time to switch their classes from face-to-face to distance learning. ISU Center for Teaching, Learning, and Technology has worked on several fronts to ease the transition. Similarly, Teaching and Learning Services as IWU is providing training and online teaching assistance to its faculty. IWU also has put together an online guide to remote teaching resources. Using the ISU's learning management system called ReggieNet, CTLT set up a special page, like an online class, said Claire LaMonica, the center's director. It provides faculty with discussion forums, online teaching support, the ability to sign up for individual consultations, and a place to share successful practices, joys, and challenges. LaMonica said the center also reached out to faculty who already had rigorous training and experience with designing and teaching online courses, seeking their help. 45 people responded. Zimmerman is among those serving as a mentor. I have already consulted with two assistant professors who are in their second semester of teaching. One's first year of teaching is already difficult, so I really feel for the new faculty on campus, said Zimmerman. The timing of the change is among the challenges. Roth Smith, an assistant professor in the School of Communication, said, "If I designed an online course from the ground up, it would look quite different from the version that I have converted to mid-semester." He said, "I am at a point in the semester where student teams would ordinarily present their projects during the class session, which will require adjustment." Both professors and students are having to make adjustments, Smith said. Morgan McKee, a freshman communication major from Champaign, has never taken an online course before. "It's something I'll adjust to," she said, while packing her belongings and moving out of Watterson Towers. But Lainey Bennett, a freshman in English from Rockford, was less enthusiastic. "If I wanted online classes, I would have signed up for them." Dylan Hummel, a junior majoring in finance, has started a change.org petition asking ISU President Larry Dietz to give students the option of pass-fail grading during this unprecedented pandemic. More than 4,000 people have signed the petition. Meanwhile, the switch to online instruction is proceeding. LaMonica said, "This has been a community effort. Faculty are reaching out to one another and displaying a can-do spirit," she said. "The university has paid for expanded access to Zoom, basically an online video conferencing call platform. Zoom allows faculty to show PowerPoint presentations and videos, put students into small discussion groups, then bring them back together," said LaMonica. "People will take a lot of different approaches to this," she said. "Some may treat the remainder of the semester like an email correspondence course. Others might post videos of their lectures online. Many will take a more interactive approach," she said. "But the challenges go beyond the delivery of the course material itself. Going online also raises questions and concerns about preserving the rigor of online teaching and upholding academic integrity while also keeping the course accessible to everyone," said Smith. "As professors, I think we should keep in mind that our students may be facing a number of struggles that affect their ability to complete their coursework," he said. "Those struggles may include looking for alternative housing, losing their jobs, and dealing with slow internet at home or limited data plans." Zimmerman said even an experienced online teacher converting her face-to-face course to online delivery is not going to be an ideal. "I also feel for my students, and I hope I can give them my best effort," she said. Reassuring faculty is part of CTLT's mission. LaMonica said her message to faculty is, "What you're doing is going to be good enough. Your students are going to be learning." Smith said overall, giving each other, professors, colleagues, staff, students, a little more leeway and expecting that everyone is trying their best in this time will go a long way to making this semester a success. You can contact Lenore Sabata at 309-820-3240. You can also follow her on Twitter at PG_Sabata. Under the Veterans Corner by Jerry A. Vogler, Sr. There is a heading of Female Honor Flight. Operation Her Story has teamed up with Honor Flight Chicago, Daughters of the American Republic, Revolution, Illinois Joining Forces, and other partners to plan the first all-women honor flight from the state of Illinois to Washington, D.C. on October 7th. This one-day free trip will give the veterans the opportunity to visit the war memorials built in their honor, including the Women in Military Service for American Memorial and the Vietnam Women's Memorial. The flight is open to all women who served in any branch of the military between 1940 and 1975 and who received an honorable or general discharge under honorable conditions. The veteran does not have to be a combat veteran or have served overseas to be eligible. Every woman who served on active duty in any capacity is deserving and eligible for this honor flight. Visit www.operationherstory.org. Operation Her Story is one word.
For more information and application, women in Central Illinois may email the Illinois Ambassador to the Women's Memorial, Jill Henry, LTC, U.S. Army Retired, at W-I-M, as in Mary, S-A dot A-M-B dot I-L-L at gmail.com. There is also a special event at VFW Post 454 at 1006 East Lincoln Street, Bloomington, for a fundraiser in support of Operation Her Story. The fundraiser will be May the 9th from 5 to 11 p.m. There will be food, a silent auction, 50-50 drawing, and DJ, Horizon Events. Support our women veterans by going to www.operationherstory.org to nominate any women veterans who served from 1940 to 1975. All proceeds go to Operation Her Story. Bogler is a superintendent of the McLean County Veterans Assistance Commission. Okay, we're going to do a short look at the sports section. So, IOC looking at postponing games. Process could continue for up to 4 weeks. This is an Associated Press article. The IOC will take up to 4 weeks to consider postponing the Tokyo Olympics amid mounting criticism of its handling of the coronavirus crisis that now includes a call for delay from the leader of track and field, the biggest sports at the game. The IOC is planning meetings with Japanese public authorities, global sports officials, broadcasters, and sponsors that will deal with scenario planning for the Olympics, which are scheduled to start July the 24th. Canceling the games is not under consideration. IOC President Thomas Bach sent a letter to athletes explaining the decision and why it might take so long, while also acknowledging the extended timeline might not be popular. I know that this unprecedented situation leaves many of your questions open, he wrote. I also know that this rational approach may not be in line with the emotions many of you have to go through. But only hours after the announcement, World Athletics President Seb Coe sent a letter to Bach saying that holding the Olympics in July is neither feasible nor desirable. He outlined a number of reasons, including competitive fairness, the likelihood athletes would overtrain if given a compressed schedule, and the uncertainty caused by orders in many countries barring people from gyms and other workout venues. No one wants to see the Olympic Games postponed, but we cannot hold the event at all costs, certainly not at the cost of athlete safety, he wrote. A decision on the Olympic Games may become very obvious very quickly, but probably not sooner than next month. The IOC said the scenarios under consideration relate to modifying existing operational plans for the Games to go ahead on July the 24th, 2020, and also on changes to the start date of the Games. The change in strategy follows Bach's conference call with executive board members. Bach has consistently said organizers are fully committed to opening the games on July the 24th, despite athlete training, qualifying events, and games preparations being disrupted more and more by the virus outbreak causing the COVID-19 disease. Criticism of the stance grew in recent days from Olympic gold medalists and by an IOC member last Tuesday, before Bach finally acknowledged an alternative plan was possible. National Olympic committees in Brazil and Slovenia later called for a postponement to 2021. Norway's Olympic body said it did not want athletes going to Tokyo until the global health crisis is under control. The United States governing bodies of swimming and track, two of the three top-tier summer game sports, have called on their national Olympic officials to push for a postponement.